everyone, and welcome to a pre-recorded, non-live version of FPC Radio Live. That's right. I am coming from you live from Las Vegas here. It is 7:52 in the morning. We are recording this podcast, so we're obviously not going live traditionally like we normally would on Twitter or on YouTube, but I assure you, we are here Friday to react to round one of the NFL draft. So good morning, John. How are you doing? Is it almost lunchtime where you're at?
Yeah, when you get old, lunchtime is around 10:52 a.m. Yeah, you start planning, you know, it's going to be ham and cheese, turkey and cheese. Maybe you really splurge and have ham, turkey, and cheese. Those are the big decisions you have when you get older. Yeah, around 11 o'clock is lunch. So you're cutting into my lunchtime, Ian, but, you know, a pleasure speaking with you. And hopefully you have a good time out in Vegas. I don't know if I saw you on a gondola last night or not, but I'm sure, you know, the transportation's pretty good.
Yeah, well, if gondola means my feet, then yes, that was my form of transportation. And unfortunately, the spontaneous trip out here to Las Vegas was almost flawless, except for the fact that I picked a hotel the exact opposite end of the strip, making my life a whole hell of a lot difficult when it comes to navigating. I'll say this, the environment out here is great. It's obviously a post pandemic. I'm not going to get into specifics of whether it's, you know, pandemic's over or whatever, but, you know, for all intents, a post-pandemic draft. You know, we're not talking about, you know, video Zoom announcements and all that stuff like we were the last couple of years. This was a huge event with a lot of people. And I'll be honest, John, this is the first time being around so many fans of so many different teams in such a long time. It was quite refreshing to hear the passion and just kind of just see the environment. And look, Vegas is a great place to do this. You know, it's when you think of pomp and circumstance, Vegas comes to mind. You know, that's what it is, and that's what the draft really is. It's about obviously players being drafted. It's about those moments for those players. Which let's face it, John, for a lot of those players, this is it. That's the peak. It's only downhill from here, because we know that, you know, the NFL is a hard business and not every player drafted is going to last in the league for a very long time. And this may be, for some of them, the highest moment of their career, because everything is possible at this point. So
especially the first round pick.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They'll get good contracts, but we don't know if they'll get a second contract. You know, they may flame out after 3 years. Then guys that are drafted tonight in the second and third round may have better careers than many of the guys in the first round. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about 21, 22-year-olds who have worked their lives to get to this point, and now they're professionals, and they have to take that and run with it.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the draft is an inexact science, and we see it all the time. I mean, if draft boards and mock drafts and all that stuff were any sort of tangible way of evaluating a player, then Mel Kiper would have been the best NFL executive of the last 30 years. So it's an inexact science. So that kind of leads us into obviously the point of, I mean, there's a lot of things that happened during the draft, and you know, we're going to save our grand reaction for Monday when I'm actually home and we can do this live and on camera and everything like that, because, you know, we saw AJ Brown get traded, we saw Marquise Brown get traded too. That was a little surprising to me, and I do want to react to that, but for the sake of time and for the sake of our setup here, we're gonna save that for Monday when we can really evaluate the entire conclusion of the draft. But the discourse surrounding player, especially up here in Northeast, and when I say that, I mean, you know, I'm living vicariously through you, John, when it comes to being up in the Northeast. The Patriots, surprise, traded out of the first round, or not out of the first round, but they traded back, acquired what I thought was a really good trade from Kansas City, and then they took an offensive guard, a position of need, and not surprisingly, we see this just absolute just. I laugh because, like, it's so predictable that stuff like this was going to happen. But, like, we see the reaction of, I think someone earlier this morning called Belichick a bottom 10 general manager, and, like, you know, declaring this kid basically a non-significant player before ever taking a single snap. And what's funny is this was all based on, like think of this cycle. So writers, let's put it out there. Media members, they put boards to big boards already. You know, this is who I have ranked, and we see it all the time. It changes all the time, John. It changes week from week to week to week. So these same people who, surprise, surprise, probably get a large percentage of their picks wrong are now saying that Belichick reached for a player. And the big, you know, hoopla was all about, oh, it's a third round this, third round that. Oh, he had a third round grade. You could have waited and got him. First of all, how do you know that? Second, from what we've seen today, people that actually took the time to react to this pick appropriately said the folks that they spoke to, i.e. NFL executives, people that actually run these teams, save for Sean McVay, and we'll get to him in a minute. They had a second round grade on him. So, well, again, that it just kind of speaks to how ridiculous some of the discourse is and the need for instant reaction, because all you're doing is putting yourself out there and likely making yourself look like a fool because, well, we can go back through history. And I read an article the other day from 2010 where Albert Breer ripped the Devin McCourty pick. And it's just, it's tradition here in New England. So when I argue with people online, and it happens all the time, you know, if you know me, you know, that's what I do. I'm not in any way, or have I ever said that Bill Belichick is perfect. He's not perfect. And when people want to criticize his draft, my reaction is, well, relative to who? Like, cause I got people showing me draft lists over the last 10 years where I'm looking at it and I'm seeing guys that were foundational pieces to Super Bowl championships. Now it doesn't mean everyone on that list was a successful player, but like, show me the other team that has a better hit rate than Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So the discourse, the discussion, the reactions to this is becoming more and more toxic in my opinion, John, where it was once you can react in an appropriate manner and say like, hey, maybe I believe that he could have gone a little bit later, but to, like I said, from the beginning to declare this player a bad player before not only taking a single snap in a game, but just in training camp is absurd, especially now that we're seeing actual people that don't have an agenda or don't follow a narrative are reporting that, yes, indeed, teams had a second round grade on him. And when you draft a 29th overall, you're essentially in the second round. So where's the issue?
Right. I mean, all you need is one other team that likes him as much as you do, and maybe he would have won 34th
and
or whatever.
Two other of the top guards were already off the table at that point before the Patriots traded back. So it wasn't like they passed on these other guards. It was they were gone. The Patriots were at 21 and said, well, maybe we like those guys. Maybe we can get a Strange a little bit later. So we're going to trade back and pick up additional picks. So like your first round pick hasn't even been fully realized yet, technically. And by that, I mean, you came into the day, the Patriots that is, with the 21st overall pick. You leave with the 29th pick and two additional draft picks. So the reality of it is you could potentially get three players and like, what was J.C. Jackson was a late round or undrafted free agent. I mean, how many times have we seen late round draft picks, you know, hit with the Patriots? It happens. They're good at evaluating talent. So this whole idea, this whole discussion around the drafting of Strange is just strange. I mean, it really is. I said that for the purpose of using the punt. No, it isn't strange. It's predictable because we see it all the time from these folks that don't have an analytical bone in their body. They just follow, oh, well, the consensus draft board. John, what the hell is a consensus draft board?
Yeah, there really isn't one because everybody has a different draft board, right?
And it like I said, it changes.
Second round grade on one guy and a first round grade on another guy. And yeah, I mean, look at Thibodeau was supposed to be the first pick in the draft the entire 2021 season. He fell a little bit and then he went fifth to the Giants. So, you know, players move up and down all these different draft boards and you see where they're taken and then there's needs for teams and all of that. So yeah, I mean, and again, we won't be able to judge these players for a couple of years when we get to actually see them play.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing. If it turns out that he doesn't pan out, then yeah, maybe you can sit there and criticize him all you want. Say, look, in hindsight, it was a bad pick. It didn't pan out. That's fine. But like the need to call the pick the player bad before, because again, think about this. Half the people reacting, or all the people reacting, are like, who is this guy? But then in their the very same breath are also telling you that this is a bad player. So wait a minute. Mm-hmm. You don't know who he is, but yet you feel comfortable saying that he's a bad player because you just blindly believe draft rankings. Like I said, if Mel Kiper was actually, you know, hitting on his mock drafts, guess what? He might actually have a job as an NFL executive. It's a crapshoot. It's not a knock on Mel. I think, again, it's maybe it is. Maybe it's a backhanded slight at him. But you know, the point being is it's not, it's an inexact science. It's not perfect. It's like baseball. Guess what? You hit 300 in baseball, you're a great player. That is far less than 50%. So we're, you know, again, is that successful? Yeah, absolutely, John. If Xander Bogaerts is what, hitting what, 397 or whatever right now? That's a lower hit rate, far lower hit rate than say Bill Belichick's drafting ability. So let's forget about the percentages or what it's to me, it's silly. It's absurd. And like I said, it's kind of sad when it comes from certain people that it's like, you clearly didn't feel the need to go out there and do the work and actually evaluate the player. You're just jumping on the bandwagon of the let's bash Bill's narrative. Like, let's be honest, John, half the people, especially Boston media wise, that are criticizing Bill, they were going to criticize him no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's,
yeah, I mean, and a lot of people don't watch college football. I certainly did not watch Tennessee Chattanooga play last year. The last player I remember from Tennessee Chattanooga was Terrell Owens back, you know, 25 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about these players. You go by what you hear, what you read, and, but again, like you said, who the hell knows? I mean, the guy could turn out to be an all-pro guard for all
Mark,
we know.
Mark Daniels, and I'm going to give him a shout-out because he's one of the folks that actually took the time to actually evaluate the pick and not just give a reaction, did the comps between him and Joe Tooney. And mm-hmm. you're talking about a very similar size, shape, everything, and ability. And Joe Tooney was a never miss a start guard who won two Super Bowls with the Patriots and was a linchpin on the line. And he was a third round draft pick. So
right.
To me, I don't care about consensus rankings. It doesn't matter to me. Like if it's a position of need and it's a good player, a good prospect, what's the issue? People are like, oh, well, you could have gotten him there. How do you know? Are you in these rooms? I mean, I had so many people telling me yesterday or last night or whatever. I'm so confused with the time change. They were telling me last night at some point in the last 12 hours that, yeah, it was a bad pick. It was bad. Oh, that was a reach. This was a reach. Well, like I said, 6 hours later, it comes out that, well, actually, no, a lot of teams actually had a second round grade on him. And now what are you going to say? You're going to backtrack what you've just been preaching for the last 12 hours, that Belichick's a bad drafter? Like I said, I had someone say today, this morning, just a couple hours ago, that he is a bottom 10 general manager. He was the 2021 executive of the year, John. I'm pretty sure he's not a bottom 10 GM. Let's put it that way.
No, I mean, he's been doing this a long time. And when you do something for a long time, you have some hits, you get some misses.
Yeah.
The track record is what it is. I mean, I think he had a bad stretch for a period, but I think last year's draft was good. I thought getting Kyle Duggar the year before was a good choice. Getting him in the second
another
round.
Guy so, yeah, that did. Everyone was like, oh, how do you take a Division II? I mean,
right.
Blue check marks, fans, like, what do you do? And now all of a sudden it's like, well, guess what? He's a pretty damn good player. So,
right. Yeah.
That's
all you can go by. It's how they perform on the field. You can draft someone in the middle of the first round and go, well, this is a real hit. He's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, like, look,
it doesn't
like when,
work out.
When you hit the football field, your draft position doesn't matter.
No.
Maybe it does in your paycheck, but outside of that, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, it's not like you're building a game plan and saying, oh, you know what? We're going to put your first round pick. So we're going to put you. No, it doesn't matter. It's like that old doctor's thing. It's like if you graduate first or last in your class, you know what they call you? A doctor. You
doctor.
Know, like
yep,
who cares
exactly.
If you're a talented player where you're drafted? I mean, did people – Tom Brady. Guess how many people had low – how many boards had a consensus board that had him low? Pretty much every team considering
everyone.
He lasted. Yeah, considering he lasted till the sixth round. And like,
he wasn't even the Patriots' first sixth-round pick. He was their second sixth-round pick or third sixth-round pick. So, and then give Belichick credit in 2001 when he said, "I'll take the guy who was drafted 199 over the guy who was drafted one overall." So, you know, that it becomes a meritocracy at that point.
Yeah, and look, I mean, look, it's funny to me that Patriots fans of all people don't understand this, and to pretend that they're shocked, one, that they traded out, and two, that they would value positions like the offensive line and defensive line. We see every single year the Patriots draft multiple offensive linemen, or some years it's going to be multiple defensive linemen. You know why? Because outside of the quarterback, that's where you build the foundation of a successful team, is in the trenches. Because you can't do any, it begins and ends right there. You can't do anything, especially offensive wise, if you don't have a good line, or at least an adequate one. And they had a needed offensive guard, and they went out and got it. And to me, I'm like, all right, they addressed a position of need. They acquired additional draft capital, and we still have six rounds to go. Like this, again, I understand it. Everyone has the need to react. Sometimes you probably just shouldn't. And that's brings me to my next point, John, a nice little segue into what I thought was, again, you can call me biased against Sean McVay because I'm not his biggest fan, and that's fine. I mean, you can.
I haven't noticed that.
I won't shy away from that because I don't want people to think that, you know, I want to be very transparent, and I think I've passed on some pretty legitimate criticisms of McVay in the past, and I, you know, it is what it is. This one I think is very legitimate, and I think his reaction to the pick was, I thought it was very disrespectful in multiple ways. Obviously, not only towards Belichick and the Patriots organization, ironically a team that they have been beaten by twice in the Super Bowl. But I thought it was incredibly just disrespectful to the player who, like I mentioned before, I mean, this is one of the biggest moments of their life. And you're openly mocking a pick, and whether the intent, like, I don't think he intended to go into that to mock the player, but your intentions don't matter when your actions speak louder than your intentions. And by that, I mean his reaction and his, like, he looked basically, John, to me, he looked like a college frat bro sitting on a couch, drinking a beer, giggling at, you know, a player that, you know, again, who cares if, like, you know, you evaluated him at 105? Why should I value what the Rams draft board is? You know what I mean? Les Snead wore a shirt that said F those draft picks. Like, why would I value what you think? Especially someone, in my opinion, who's inferior to Bill Belichick. So, again, I was really put off by that. And I was very disappointed that so many, again, the blue check marks out there, ate it up and thought it was awesome or cool. I just thought, again, it there's no repercussion for being an asshole. And that's kind of what he was. And now people are praising that. And I think I have a problem with it.
Well, the thing is, now he has the biggest megaphone because he's got the Lombardi trophy. If this was some other coach or executive of an 8-9 team, people would say, well, worry about your own thing. And sure, yeah, I mean, the Rams do things differently than the Patriots. We obviously see that.
All they got to do is fail for a franchise for 20 years, move to a different city, and then basically hope and pray that a player like Matt Stafford becomes available so it's not an abject failure, this entire regime. So, yeah,
well,
I agree.
But okay, but since Sean McVay's been there, they've been in the discussion along with the Patriots and the Chiefs as the three best teams in football. I mean, we can't blame Sean McVay for the Super Bowl 20 years ago. He was in high school, I think.
No, but the point being is, like,
since he's
no,
been there, they've been pretty good. I mean, they've got a better record than the Patriots the last 5 years, and those three teams I mentioned have all gone to two Super Bowls. They've all won one. So, I mean, that's what we're going on. But, yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's disrespectful to the kid who was drafted and now is being kind of mocked by a coach and an executive of another team. I mean, again, you don't generally start to weigh into what other teams are doing unless it's, you know, off the record. Like, I mean, you're going to go, what the hell was Dallas thinking or whatever.
And real quick, I'm not even saying, like, he shouldn't have, like, obviously he was there to react, but, like, people have a filter and people use it. Like people just don't say whatever they want to say because there's a, that's just how society works. And I'm glad it's that way because if people just ran their, I mean, it's bad enough as it is, but if people just really just ran their mouth and said whatever they wanted, then, you know, it's an issue. So yeah, I'm not criticizing him for reacting. Like people were like, oh, what? He's not allowed to react. No, he's allowed to react. Just don't be an asshole. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. The coach, the general manager, the quarterback, right? Are they kind of the faces of the franchise?
You get held to a much higher standard and you have a responsibility to be that face. And to me, it was just such a bad look. And the fact that it was celebrated even bugs me.
Yeah. I mean, if Jalen Ramsey comes out and says that, we laugh because that's Jalen Ramsey. He's a cornerback and he's a character and he's got a great personality and he's opinionated. And that's fun. But generally, yeah, the coach, the general manager and the quarterback are the three guys that you'd kind of want to have buttoned up and not really going into areas that they probably shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's just no need for it. Just keep your mouth shut. You know, you can say, look,
yeah, it had a feel of like Wolf of Wall Street, didn't it? Like,
yeah, exactly. Just, like, that's what I said.
Like, hanging around, having beers, like you said.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's not, again, to me, I just bugs me. And like I said, it made it even worse that so many reporters or media members were kind of eating it up as like, oh, this is so cool. This is awesome. Look at this. Sean McVay doesn't care. Clearly he doesn't care. Because again, to me, I'm reading that saying, well, he clearly has no respect for the process that Belichick and the Patriots are going through or the player. And save me he was just reacting. No, I'm sorry. Like that showed me more about Sean McVay than it does Bill Belichick. That's what it is. And look, like I said before, and I started this conversation off saying I have never been his biggest fan. So, you know, maybe you can accuse me of like, oh, maybe you're being biased. I'm being consistent with this. And I think no matter what, whoever it was, I thought that reaction was just uncalled for. Because knowing, and this is the thing too, John, knowing that thousands of eyes are going to be on you. This wasn't they were in a draft room and someone happened to capture candidly a conversation or a reaction. This was, we're sitting at a desk live broadcasting reactions and you're going to act again. I love the Wolf of Wall Street reference because that's exactly what it is. It's a bunch of frat bros, you know, oh, mm-hmm. We're so cool. You know, so Cal, this, that, and the other, we got the hip cool, building that we do all like draft stuff in. I got someone who holds me back from running on the field. That's my I think that's just so outrageously ridiculous. Like that whole concept of having someone to hold it, to me, again, that just kind of speaks to just where his priorities are. Let's put it that way, John. And maybe they're not necessarily in all the right places. And they certainly weren't during that reaction video, because like I said, it just comes across bad. So a very eventful first round of the NFL draft. Only one quarterback was taken, Kenny Pickett to Pittsburgh. And let me tell you, Pittsburgh fans were very indifferent about the selection. I can tell you Tennessee fans were very upset about their first round. But it's going to be an interesting second day. I'll be curious to see what kind of moves are made. And look, we have several teams that still have not picked yet, talking about the Bucks, mm-hmm. the Bears, the Browns. So, you know, there's going to be several teams that actually get their first pick in today. So before we let you all go, and like I said, it's going to be unfortunately a short, quickie episode today. And on Monday, we're really going to break down the NFL draft. But before we let you go, John, do you have any final thoughts or any predictions? Do you have a consensus board? Where's your big board, John?
My board is I'm bored with my board.
Yeah.
I just, you know, saw the Packers drafted two defensive guys, which they generally do in mm-hmm. the draft, both from Georgia. So five Georgia players went in the first round. And that doesn't even include N'Kobe Dean, who was probably their most productive player last year. He'll go early in the second round. Look, I think what Green Bay is doing with Aaron Rodgers is basically saying, we gave you $50 million a year. We'll get this defense up to par, which, look, they gave up, what, two field goals in the divisional round matchup against San Francisco last year, so not their fault. And they're saying, okay, you figure it out, Aaron. You know, we'll draft some receivers in the second or third round and maybe later, and maybe we'll sign another free agent, and you do what you got to do, because we've given you a good offensive line, some good running backs, but you're on your own, big boy. And I think that's kind of the message they're sending to them, because they don't draft offense in the first round. They haven't since he's been there, other than Jordan Love, who was a quarterback. So, and at that point, when they were ready to draft, there really weren't the high-end receivers. You probably could get those similar receivers in the second or third round. So, yeah, I mean, they did okay. But, yeah, going to be interesting to see what happens. Malik Willis will probably be the next quarterback that goes. And, you know, do you think Tampa Bay maybe reaches for a quarterback? I mean, who the hell knows? Brady could play 1, 2, 3 more years, whatever. But I don't know if they pick a quarterback to be their future. They kind of did that last year, right, with Kyle Trask.
Yeah, I mean, so, it depends. I guess it depends on how they view Trask, you know, like,
right.
Excuse me. Like, I don't think there's a quarterback out there necessarily that has, this is a fairly thin quarterback group.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to last year and some years in the past. So like, I don't know if that guy's there, and maybe the difference between that person and Kyle Trask isn't enough to justify giving up a pick. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
At a certain point, there's not a big enough. It just doesn't make sense to waste another pick on a player who, I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know much about Kyle Trask. I mean, you don't see him obviously on the field. The Bucs see him on practice field, and that's about all you know. And look, I mean, so far, quarterbacks that play under Tom Brady generally last in this league quite a bit, whether it's as a backup or as, you know, a mid-level starter. I mean, they take in the knowledge.
He doesn't let them play.
Yeah, well,
doesn't let them play.
Well, I mean,
I love, to be fair, that's awesome. He never leaves. You're like, okay, I'll back him up for a while. You know, like, I remember the conversation 10 years ago. I'll take Andrew Luck over Tom Brady in 2012, because Brady's going to be done in a few years. And Andrew Luck's been retired for 4 years, and Brady's winning Super Bowl.
Well, I will say this that that's funny. That's funny.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that.
It just kind of shows how people just really don't. You can't tell the future. That's why I love people that say, like, oh, you could have gotten him in the third round. I'm like, you have a crystal ball? did you go into the future? Like, how do you know? Like, how do you know these things? Like, you can make judgments based on your evaluations, but I damn well that most of the people on there talking on Twitter didn't take the time to go through and actually evaluate the talent. They just pick up on the, oh my God, the Patriots drafted out again. But to your Rodgers point, I think the Packers are being smart. They're not like, would you, if you were the Packers, like, I know they're certainly helping. Would you be willing to sacrifice your future for 2 years for Aaron Rodgers? And think about it for a second. Would you be willing
to
sell the farm to do that?
Yeah, because, I mean, you would think you have a chance to win another Super Bowl in that.
I thought
series,
they had a chance the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And to your point, their defense was pretty darn good. So I think they've gotten worse on offense. I always bring this up. 30 touchdowns, 3,000 yards, last 30 games from Davante Adams. How they replace that, I'm still not quite sure. Doesn't mean that they're going to be void 30 touchdowns, but my concern being is last year they were the 10th best offense in the league. And to be a great team, you need an elite offense. And I don't know if you would necessarily rank the Packers borderline, let's say fringe elite, because top 10, I think you can consider elite in the NFL when it comes to offenses ranking, because there's so many really good offenses that I think you have to kind of adjust the range there. But at the end of the day, you're talking about maybe the last really good offense in the league, and it just got worse. I mean, there's no way to put it outside of, it got worse because you lost an all-pro receiver that, again, just racked up yardage and touchdowns.
Yeah, no, that's a major loss. Now, they got a first and a second. They used the first for a player from Georgia who, you know, those Georgia guys, I don't know if all the Georgia guys are going to hit. I mean, man, that's got to be the best defense in the history of college football. You got 5 first-round picks. There's a guy playing on it, Mitchell, I believe, who's going to be a first-rounder next year. And, N'Kobe Dean was their leader. So you're talking about 7 studs on that defense. I mean, that was a great defense at Georgia. So, but they're all not going to turn out to be great NFL players, I don't think, unless they're the 2001 through 2003 Miami Hurricanes, which that to me is still the greatest college football team I've ever seen, because I believe they had 19 first round picks and like 9 second round picks, and guys that all played in that long
career. Yeah, like all guys that really.
It was just silly. I mean, yeah, they had like two of things, right? They had two tight ends, right? Winslow Jr. and Jeremy Sharkey.
Right.
I mean, they Sean Taylor and Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, I was going to say Vince Wilfork was like a third string, like
Andre
defensive.
I mean, he was ridiculous. They had like three different running backs, Frank Gore and Willis McGahee. It was like Noah's Ark of football players. I mean, maybe George has got that on defense, certainly not on offense. But yeah, I mean, I think with Green Bay, what's left in free agency? I mean, now A.J. Brown's traded. Marquise Brown's traded. I mean, Deebo Samuel, the 49ers aren't going to move Deebo Samuel to Green Bay of all places. So, you know, maybe they get lucky in the second or third round and get a receiver that surprises and plays. You see that a lot in the NFL.
Yes, John.
Hell, Devontae Adams was a second round pick.
Exactly. That's because not everything is done in the first round, and not every list is exact. It varies. Yep. People, it's a crapshoot, folks. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us here today. We will be back on Monday to really break down everything, and give our reactions to the entire draft. And of course, maybe we'll give our little insight into who we think, improved the most over the weekend and who may or may not have. So this was fun, John. And, if you want to give us a follow on Twitter, it's @FullPressRadio, @FullPressNFL, and of course @FPC Radio Live, and do it, and of course follow us on Twitter @IGLEN31, and you can find John @JohnSapp25. Have a great day, folks, and we will talk to you soon.